Well, good morning. My name is Brother Hunter Wooldridge. I am the Associate Pastor of Music and Youth at West Macomb Baptist Church in Macomb, Mississippi, out on Highway 24. I'm filling in this morning for Brother Van Windham, our Senior Pastor, who is preaching a homecoming service this Sunday. We're thankful for the opportunity. We encourage you and invite you to join us at West Macomb Baptist Church, where we seek to make true disciples through intentional youth ministry, equipping students with the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as children's ministries that seek to teach the Bible in its fullness. We're doing great things at West Macomb, and we encourage you to be a part of it. Just so excited to be here. I've been here a month now, and grateful for the opportunity to be with you this morning. This morning, I'd like to preach on the topic of love. And love is such a vast topic when it comes to God, because we know that God is love. And me being a music minister for a number of years now, and knowing that there are so many songs about love, I think about the love of God. What a beautiful hymn that reminds us how great or far is the love of God, that no pen could ever tell and describe God's love in its fullness. I think about how love lifted me, and I think about my own journey of the depths of my heart, the depths of my mind, that Jesus' sacrifice lifted me out of my pity, that lifted me out of my despair, that God gave me a second chance with His love. Another song that I'm reminded of when I think of the word love is the song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Yes, I am quoting the Tina Turner song that we remember from May 29th of 1984. Tina Turner saying, "What's love got to do with it?" But little did Tina Turner know that it's more than a secondhand emotion or a sweet old-fashioned notion. Love has got everything to do with it, because God is love, and God has something to do with everything. God is the creator of the universe. He created you and me. He created the skies. He created the expanse. He created the earth we live on, the resources we use each and every day. He created the animals we keep. He gives us food. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He is our deliverer by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. What a perfect example of true love. How grateful I am for love, the love of God. What's love got to do with it? Love's got everything to do with it, folks. But the world today is trying to take this word love and trying to misconform it, to use it and apply it to their own agenda. But truly, the word love comes and stems from God. It starts with God. And we as Christians must take back the word love for ourselves, because God is love, and we must represent His love in us, because love changes everything. Amen. Love changed everything in my life. I'm so thankful that someone loved me in my despicable state, in my unlovable state, in my hateful state. God loved me, and He used His people to pursue me with love. Love, folks, changes everything, and it needs to be the tool we used in this lost and dying generation. We ask ourselves day in and day out, what are we going to do about our world that keeps slipping away and farther into the darkness? And we sit and we scratch our heads and wonder, why aren't people coming to church? Why aren't people coming to discipleship training? Why aren't they joining the choir? Why aren't they coming to Jesus? Well, I'm afraid, church, is because we are not being the true examples of love that God has called us to be. This morning's text, I want to look at the book of 1 John chapter 4, where we read about how God is love. So what's love got to do with it? Let us find out in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Scripture reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves God has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is also, we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this time this morning, Lord, to come before your throne, Lord, to preach your word, Lord, and I pray that it be your word alone, Lord. You would hide me behind the cross to preach your message and your message only, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, Lord. I thank you for this message, Lord. Help us realize that love, true love, changes everything. And it's in the name of love I ask these things. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, church, we learn and know that God is love. See, I love watching dramas. And I love watching different shows. I know many people in this room remember The Love Boat, this romantic TV series for a number of years. It entertained my grandparents and my parents, and still entertains us to this day. And we love The Love Boat. And we still use the phrase, "They're on the love boat," even today, describing couples. But we recognize that that's only a glimpse of the love that God shows us in our relationship with Him. We love one another to truly exemplify the love that God showed for us. Love, the God's love, is unconditional. In today's day and age, our students in youth ministry, our students across the world are asking, "What can you do for me?" Our world's asking, "What can you do for me that I'll love you back for?" See, there are limitations to that love. But truly, God's love is unlimited. He cares for us. He sees through. He jumps after us. We read how much that God cares and joys over the one lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. That He sought after him and He threw him on his back and carried him home, rejoicing, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my one lost sheep. He cares for each and every one of us. He is a personal kind of God. But God is love. Didn't we read that? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If you know God, you will love others with a true love. We're talking about love that is without limitation. We're talking love that will break down boundaries. Love that sees through imperfections. Praise God that He would look past Hunter Wooldridge's imperfections. That He would say, "Son, you are forgiven through the blood of the sacrifice, the love that Jesus, my one and only begotten Son, showed on the cross." And that He makes intercession for you each and every day when you continue to mess up. That is true love. Love is timeless. Love changes everything. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. I hurt for people knowing that people out in this world do not dwell in the love of God. They do not know what the true forgiveness of God is. That they can know when things have happened in their life, unfortunate things that have come from their mistakes, that God can still love them. I've been there in my life wondering how could a holy and perfect God still love someone as small, insignificant, and obstinate as me. But I was so grateful to be reminded day in and day out through God's Word that He is love and that He's made it manifest among us by sending Jesus, and that in Him love is perfected in us with His Holy Spirit abiding in us. Verse 9 reads, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." How thankful are we that Jesus was that propitiation, that perfect sacrifice that you and I could not have been. He lived a life perfect, blameless. He never sinned. He never made the mistakes that you and I had. He never told the childish lies that you and I have. He never ran the red light. He never went over the speed limit. Jesus never made a mistake. He was the perfect sacrifice that died for you and for me. He showed us what true love was. Loving us to the point of death, even death on a cruel, rugged cross that was not His to bear. Beloved, if God so loved us by sending Jesus, we also ought to love one another. We ought to dwell in that love. We ought to show that love, the love that we didn't deserve, but yet is granted to us through God's grace, a gift we did not deserve, an undeserved merit. How grateful we should be. We should pick up that gift and not stow it away in a closet like one of those gifts we may get from Christmas, for Christmas, from a distant aunt or uncle. Pick up that gift and use it to the best of your ability that you know how, and pray to God to grant you opportunities to love someone, to love many people, others God has placed in your path, in your life. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. I don't know about you, but I want to experience the perfect love of God. Don't you? And the Bible says, the Scripture says, that if we were to love one another truly, all of us that John is writing to, love all of God's creation the way God loves us, then we will experience His perfect love. Oh, love that will not let me go. A song In today's age, how he loves describes it so well, I think. He is jealous for me. He cares for each and every person. He is desires our love, our attention, each and every person to choose him over the world. He loves like as if he was a hurricane. And we are bending beneath the weight of his wind in mercy. Truly, if we were to experience God in his fullness, in his glory, the weight of his glory, we cannot withhold. That's why no one has ever seen God. But we can exemplify his love in our actions, in our words, in everything that we do. As Christians, we ought to be love. We can't sit here and love the world. I think of 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, where it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." You know, so many people today are not willing to love like God calls us to love. They're scared to make such a commitment. That's why so many people today aren't getting married. Because they don't want to make a commitment to a single person. They don't want to make a commitment for their entire lifetime. They don't realize that their life is not their own. What did God say? He said in the scripture when Jesus quotes, he says, "Whoever should give his life for me shall surely keep it. Whoever tries to keep his life will surely lose it." You know, I'm reminded of the passage of Jacob in the book of Genesis. Don't you remember how Jacob wanted to marry Rachel? Oh, he loved Rachel. He wanted Rachel so bad. And he asked her father, Laban, to marry Rachel, to have her hand. And he gave her a set of requirements to marry Rachel. And he met those requirements, but it was Jewish law. It was the law of the day and age that you must marry the firstborn before you could marry the secondborn. And because of that, he sent in Leah to lay with Jacob while he was filled with much wine. And we know he worked for a number of years for Leah. And he explains what has happened to Jacob. And Laban says, "Work for me for some more time, an additional 7 years, and I will give you Rachel." And Jacob loved Rachel so much. You know what he did after working all those years? He worked seven more. He said, "Of course, my love for her goes beyond measure." I wonder, church, where would our nation be if people truly loved their spouses, truly loved their children, truly loved their churches like Jacob loved Rachel? How he showed the love of God. How the Samaritan man stopped and showed his love for the poor man who was robbed on the side of the road. The Levite passed him, the priest passed him, but who stopped to take care of this man, this hurting man, this troubled man? The Samaritan, who everyone looked down upon. He loved one. Friends love one another, do they not? Aren't you thankful for a friend who loves you? A spouse who loves you? A parent who loves you? I love the memories of my sweet grandfather who's gone on to be with the Lord just this year, February 9th of 2023. He loved me. Not only when he said, "I love you, grandson," but he showed me what true love was by going to church, talking to me about the Bible, showing me how to do small tasks. He worked for Ford his entire life, was a bodyman for Ford, and showed me how to bondo a car. and told me about the restoration process that was the Christian life. I felt his love, but more importantly, I felt the love of God flowing through him, his words and his actions. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would send his only Son, a wretch, to make us his treasure. To make a wretch his treasure. How beautiful a song that is. The question is, are you living a love-filled life? If you're living a love-filled life, then you are living a God-filled life. Jesus lived out love, did he not? Each and every day as a nomad, he was constantly loving people, going into homes like Mary Magdalene's home, going into Zacchaeus' home, loving the unlovable each and every day. I talked to a man just this week who had been cast out by his family, and he had made several poor decisions in his life. He struggled in his early years, but he still felt the love of God, even though his family would not forgive him and will not forgive him and love him. But he doesn't need their love. What he needed was God's love. And he found it there in a jail cell. And praise God that it found him. Praise God that it found me. Praise God that it found you, church. Amen. Praise God. Jesus lived out love. And he changed everything by dying on the cross for you and for me. And we recognize that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, then God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. Abide means to live in, and God lives in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. We must face the day of judgment. We will face the judgment seat, and we will know how we kept his commandments. I think of John 14, 15. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You shall know them by their works. Jesus knows who your first love is. Is it God or is it money? You cannot serve two masters. We must serve God. Priority number one. Right? Matthew 6:33. We recognize we must pursue righteousness, so that all these other things will be added unto us. I am reminded of the greatest commandment, correct? The Shema we found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. They quoted this for years. Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 5 that says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. We must love God. That is our greatest commandment we find in the Bible. That is our purpose here on earth, to fulfill the Great Commission and to pursue the Great Commandment. Are you pursuing the love of God today? Because let me tell you, folks, there's no better thing to pursue in your life. No career, no person, no event, no spectacle is greater to pursue than the love of God. It will fill you with purpose. It will give you a hope. It will show you the way, and the way is Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the example of love. We're encouraged to love our neighbor as yourself. Are you doing that today, church? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Because let me tell you, if you're not loving a brother and sister, the love of God is not in you, right? Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. It doesn't say may not. It doesn't say maybe. It says cannot. love God whom he has not seen. Folks, we must forgive. We must cleanse our feet. We must wash our hearts of the sin of the wickedness, that we can be fully dwelling in the love of God and be his servants as he's commanded us. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18. We trust in that fact, right? We trust way back in Exodus 20, found in verse 6, when we read about the Ten Commandments. We read how Moses said from the Lord, beginning in verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Are we keeping God's commandments each and every day? Are we showing that real love? God loved his people day in and day out. The Israelites' people, they were just made very poor decisions, did they not? Constantly disregarding God, constantly making their own decisions, not even focusing on what God had done for them. And they constantly fell back into this trap of hate, this trap of loneliness, this trap of independence, when we need to be dependent on the God of the universe that is the one and only Lord, Yahweh God. We trust him in all things, knowing that he is truth. When nothing else in the world seems true, God is truth. Amen. And I am grateful for him and his love in all that I do. I could not minister without love. And I can only imagine people that don't minister without love. And I've heard people time and time again in ministry say, "Don't get attached. Don't get attached to the people you serve." But I wonder, how in the world can you do true ministry and not love the people who you serve? The people who God, the God that we love, that we supposedly love, has called you to minister to your people, then you are to love them and to love them to the best you know how. I love you, church. I care for you. I care for your youth. I care for your children. I care for their eternities. I care where you will spend eternity. I care where Macomb, Mississippi will spend eternity. Will you spend it in hell or will you spend it in heaven? Because the Bible makes it very clear that in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way," Jesus said. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but through me." We know that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Folks, he gave us a spirit that dwells within us. When we believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, he has sent us the helper, the comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, the triune Spirit of God. He is with us. He is within us. And we can dwell in his love. We can be his love because the Spirit has empowered us to use that love to the ends of the earth. That's why you and I, we combine our funds as churches, as conventions, to send money to the ends of the earth so that the gospel can be reached to the unreached people. My own brother is across the seas right now as a summer missionary serving faithfully, sharing the gospel with unreached people groups high up in the mountains of Asia. And how thankful I am for people like my very own brother. Yes, scared for them, but thankful that God calls people to go and tell the glorious gospel of God's love, that he is here, he exists, that you may not see him. We are his messengers. We have his spirit within us. It has empowered me today to preach. It has empowered me to be here, to love you, to share with you. Jesus' death was not an accident, folks. It was an appointment. It was an appointment of love, Warren Wiersbe would say. God's love is stronger than death. God's love is stronger than a crucifixion. It's stronger than hate. We must overcome this world with love, folks. We must bring the word love back to God, because God is love. That's what love should be defined as. Church, world, God is love, and we will be His servants. We will love others day in and day out. I think of George Strait and the bridge of his song, Love Without End, Amen. It says, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. Father's love never ends. It's true to the end. And how grateful I am that God loved a sinner like me. That He cared so much that He would not give up on me, even in my darkest hour. He constantly pursued me. And folks, He's pursuing each and every one of us. Do not block out the Spirit of God moving in your life. And if you're a sinner here today that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, God is calling out to you today. Will you come to Him with open arms? Because He's here, ready for His prodigal son or daughter. He loves you. He cherishes you. You are His. Would you come to the Father today? Would you remember and prioritize your first love, who is God, the true King? Let us pray.